Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening to you, Misty.
Good evening, Bonnie. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's nice and cool here on the East Coast in Philadelphia. And I think it's probably hot where you are in Florida, right?
It's always hot here. This is September.
Yeah, that's right.
But hot beats hurricane. Earl didn't hit us. Yeah, so hot's okay as long as the hurricanes don't come by. We didn't get Earl, we didn't get Gaston, and we didn't get Fiona, so we're happy.
That's excellent. I wish I could say the same for other places. I just don't even understand the whole hurricane thing. People shouldn't have to deal with that in life.
It's terrible. It's terrible. It is, I have to say.
So I do want to mention to people tonight we have our open forum. And so if you'd like to call in, it's area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat that number one more time, 646-716-4893. And if you have any issues or questions you'd like to ask us, that's fine. We'll be on for the next hour. Unless we have callers calling in, then we'll stay later. But we do want to mention to you about our upcoming shows for the next 2 weeks. And we have a very special guest with us next week. Her name is Heather Cram. And that's a show that you really need to listen to. And Heather has a book out and a wonderful website called Your What? Survival Strategies for Straight Spouses. And she has a book out on that, and she has a wonderful website that can really help people. And I've known Heather for a while, and I'm really excited that she's going to be our guest. So that's next Sunday. And so please, you know, tune in to hear Heather, and you can feel free to ask her questions as well. And then also the following Sunday, we're going to be launching our children's support group for adult children of gay fathers. And we'll have on a guest, maybe more than one guest, of a young adult who has a gay father and who talks about the issues that, you know, children have to struggle with when there is a gay parent in the home. And certainly, you know, once again, there are wonderful gay fathers out there, and then there are some who just seem to fade into some alien gay world for a while they're coming to terms with themselves. And then talking about the possibilities of reunification when that happens. So please be tuning into that, and that will be launching our new, you know, Adult Children of Gay Fathers group. We're going to have online support chat once a week because, as Misty and I have often mentioned, that there's a lot of support, you know, through us and through other straight wives groups, you know, for women who are going through this, you know, situation, and there's certainly many groups for gay men when they're coming out, but there's virtually nothing available for children, and they have to kind of wing this themselves, so we're looking to be able to hook them up together. So those will be our shows for the next 2 weeks, but once again, tonight's an open forum. We're going to tonight to be discussing an issue that you can never discuss too much, self-esteem. And once again, if you would like to call in and talk about your situation or add anything to our conversation, the phone number is area code 646-716-4893. And Misty and I would like to send, you know, special hellos out to our listeners from all, not only all over this country, but we get beautiful letters from people all over different parts of the world who are listening, maybe not live, but at other times when, you know, they're able to listen to the show. And it's just amazing to me, you know, how far wide, you know, the show has gone. As far as Europe, Australia, Asia, India, and I do get letters every week from people all over the world who are listening, who are feeling so much more comforted because of the fact that they're able to relate to someone somewhere who can understand what they're going through. So we send our love out to all of the people all over the world. And the one thing that I've learned, Misty, that, you know, we're so different for us here in this country than it is for people in other countries, is that no matter how difficult it is to come out to your wife or to come out and be gay in this country And believe me, in certain parts of this country, it's no picnic, even in this day and age. But in other countries, you know, there's no choices. In other countries, it's just totally unacceptable, and it's, you know, illegal or not allowed. And people are forced into marriages, you know, against anything that's natural to them. And, you know, it's like I say, the men are kind of imprisoned in it, and then they take their women prisoners with them because there's nothing that, you know, they can do about it. So that's why we really have to be grateful that in this country you can make better choices. And even if it's not the easy choice, and even if there are some repercussions, I always tell my men who come to me and who listen to this show who are gay and who are looking for help and advice that, you know, there's nothing harder than living a day-to-day lie, that no matter how difficult the truth is, it has to be easier than living a life that's not yours. So I always like to tell our men also, I have some wonderful men who are part of our support network and some men who are really there to help you if you need help in coming out issues or just need support in knowing what to do or how to handle it or understanding what you're going through. I know a lot of men who write to me are very distraught because they don't understand these feelings that they're having. They've been in a marriage for 10, 20, 30 years. You know, they had a good marriage. But all of a sudden, these feelings are popping up again that they thought were gone. And they don't know what direction to go in. And if you're one of those men, I'm always more than happy to help you and refer you to other men who can really be of support to you. And I'm really very excited that, you know, I have wonderful support male gay counselor here, an ex-husband, Doug. And I also have some other wonderful men, Steve, out in California. If you're listening, Steve, hi. And some other men also who are more than willing to give you the support that you need. So don't hesitate. You can always write to me at bondk@aol.com. And if you have any questions for tonight, you can always email me while we're online or on the show at bondk@aol.com if you would prefer to email me rather than to call in with any questions that you might have. Misty, before we get started, do you want to discuss any workshops that you have coming up?
I would love to. Thank you, Bonnie. I have two coming up this month, and I'll discuss the seminar one first. My seminars I do once a month, and it's always the second Saturday of each month. And the topic will always be related to, you know, straight wives and something that affects their life, their relationships. And there's always tips and activities through that 2 hours that you should leave feeling better than what you did when you entered the Saturday seminar. That's always my goal as the facilitator. This Saturday coming up, which is next Saturday, September the 11th, a very Memorial Day in our history, that's for sure, in our American history. But anyway, this September the 11th will be just titled The Journey. And The Journey meaning, you know, what you can expect along this journey of discovery. This can be, if you, this seminar will be appropriate if you have just found out, if you have found out a year ago, if you're newly divorced or just looking into the divorce process, or you've been divorced for 2 years and still trying to find your way through this mess, because we know it can absolutely be a mess. And the greatest part, I tell people, is not only the information that you will get from these seminars, but it's the connection. That's the greatest part that I think everyone comes away with, is the connection with other straight wives from around the world. They're from all over, and it's just wonderful knowing you're not alone. I think that's the most therapeutic thing that can take place, is to realize you're not the only person this has happened to. The other thing, and that will be, I'm sorry, that will be this coming Saturday. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll last till 3 p.m. And you can email me, and I'll give you the email address a little bit later if you're interested in that. The other thing I'll be offering is a workshop. The title of this workshop will be called Rediscovering Yourself. And this will be also filled with some self-esteem tips, like we're going to discuss tonight, because Bonnie, as you and I both know, self-esteem is key. It's key to rediscover yourself. It's key to develop your strengths and pick those strengths out and be your best support. So that's what that's going to be for. And the great part about the workshops are they last for 4 weeks. So you get that connection for 4 weeks with the other straight wives. And those will take place every Monday night for four consecutive Mondays. It will start, let me get my dates correct here, it will start September the 20th, and it will end October the 11th. That will be the last night. And the only thing you need for the seminars or workshops is to be able to dial in on a phone. That's it. I can email you the directions if you don't have an email that you're comfortable using. You can possibly get someone to email me and I can call you. I mean, there's always a way to participate in these. The other thing is also you don't have to reveal your name. I've had many women participate with a different name to keep their anonymity, and that's okay because we know this is something that many people are not ready to come out. Some people, like myself, are from small towns and where everyone knows everyone. So if you're not comfortable with everyone knowing your name and where you're from, no, that's okay. You can participate anyway. And you owe yourself this therapeutic connection with other straight wives and the information that you will get. Each of the seminars and workshops, I develop a workbook for each of them. And as you know, if you're a straight wife out there looking for workbooks and information on how to handle getting through life, being a straight wife, and improving your life, you're not going to find much information out there. It's very limited. So you will get those to take with you and keep forever. So that's what's coming up this month. If you want any information on that, please let me know. As of right now, I think I only have one spot left for the four-week workshop. It's filling up pretty fast. So if you want that one, let me know fairly quickly, and you can email me at Misty Lynn Hall, and that's MistyLynnHall at AOL.com. And then Bonnie always gives us the northern version of that spelling as well. So
right,
Bonnie?
Because, you know, a lot of people who are from the South have a hard time understanding Southern English, I guess. So Misty's address in Northern Talk is Misty Lynn Hall. It's all one word, MistyLynnHall at AOL.com. So if you'd be interested in joining Misty in her workshop, you know, for those women who are looking to restart the recovery process, this is the place to start it. And, you know, I always am amazed. Women write me letters about how much money they spend on useless therapies, going to therapists who have no clue about what's going on. In fact, I just had a woman write to me yesterday. She spends $880 an hour with a therapist, only for the therapist to tell her that she should learn how to adjust to these situations. This is what she was paying good money for. So
yeah,
we don't suggest that at all. We suggest that you move on with your life and we teach you how to do it. So for a fraction of that, you can have a whole, you know, for the cost of one session there, you can have more than a whole workshop for a week with Misty. So it's definitely the most worthwhile investment you can make in your own recovery. So once again, Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall at AOL.com, and Misty will be more than happy to get you set up for that. Also, I wanted to mention, Misty, that we're really excited about our upcoming Florida Healing Weekend in November 6th and 7th, and it's really shaping up beautifully. It's going to be in Fort Lauderdale. And if any of you would like to join us for this healing weekend, we do this as our gift to our women. Once a year, we go to Florida, and there's no charge for the workshops and for the get-together. You just have to pay for your transportation and lodging, but we have a group rate in Fort Lauderdale. And it will be a life-changing experience for everyone who attends because there is nothing better in the world than having live support. And we have a wonderful group of women coming, some who have been through their journey, some who are traveling the journey, some who are just starting their journey at all different phases. And I know that last year when, you know, we got together, it, you know, we were on cloud nine for months to come. And, you know, every year it's the same thing whenever we have a get-together. So treat yourself and join us for that weekend because that will give you the boost you need for months ahead. You know, it'll be like the biggest shot in the arm you could possibly get as far as your recovery. You know, I just wanted to mention also, Misty, because I think this is something that comes up a lot in letters that I get. And I get anywhere from 30 to 50 letters on any given week from new people who are, you know, just finding out and going through this process. And lots of letters from other people who are in the process of it and stuck at some point. And I always explain to women that gay husband recovery, as I call it, GHR, you know, is a process. And it's not something you can just get over. There's going to be a lot of things to untangle in your own mind, a lot of things that have to be cleared up, a lot of situations that just don't happen to go away because the marriage is over. And depending on how the marriage ends and what the responsibilities are, I mean, it's a really tough thing. And there's lots of residual scarring that will come up in the future. And you need to be aware of that. And I guess part of that's why tonight we're going to be really talking about the issue of self-esteem. Because if there's anything that really gets lost in these marriages, it is the whole issue of self-esteem, sexual esteem, and values of self-worth. I mean, I think this is something that all of us suffer from. And, you know, before we even get on to the self-esteem, as far as, you know, in our marriages, we've heard from a number of women. I was hoping one of them could join us tonight, one of our dear support group members, but she's not able to. But we were talking earlier with her about this in our support chat, that a lot of times that women go into these marriages who already have low self-esteem based on their previous life experiences at home. A lot of women come from families where there was dysfunction. You know, certainly this doesn't apply to everyone, you know, because not everyone came from a dysfunctional home. But it's very common to find that there were signs of dysfunction in a lot of the growing up of, you know, our women who end up with, you know, gay men. And they just seem to move from one dysfunctional situation into another. And going to, you know, a relationship with a gay man is often very appealing to a woman, even though she doesn't know he's gay, but he's kind, he's sweet, he's nurturing. And she's come from a background of abuse or alcoholism or drug addiction with her parents, with fighting, domestic violence. So when somebody offers kindness and a kind hand and somebody who's, you know, really nice to you and you haven't had this in your home, a lot of times this is what you're looking for, that peace and that security without all the chaos. And so you are likely to enter into a marriage without, you know, understanding a lot of the ripples down the way because you're only looking at one thing at that time, and that's a way out of your current, you know, current situation, which is far worse than anything you're getting into. And, you know, people always ask me, well, didn't you know something? You must have known something. No, we didn't know anything for the most part. I would say about 90% of women had no clue and had no knowledge prior to the time they married, because a lot of these guys are just really nice guys that weren't real sexually aggressive. So women thought, well, this is a perfect guy. You know, this is the kind of man that I want. It's someone who's not just after me for my body, he cares about my mind. And these were basically guys who were offering some kind of comfort and security. But I find that, you know, if you didn't have self-esteem going into the marriage, then your self-esteem is going to get whacked down even further, and it will take a longer time to build up. Do you agree with that, Misty?
Absolutely. I agree with everything you just said, and especially taking it back a little bit in the conversation, is, you know, what were you taught by your parents about self-esteem and relationships? You know, we've talked about that a lot, too. You know, this could come from way back. Or it could be, I've also worked with women to where they said, you know, I didn't recognize how bad my relationship was because I couldn't identify things of abuse and my self-esteem eroded as a result of not recognizing that I was getting my self-esteem taken away and I was losing it piece by piece in the relationship. So there's lots of different scenarios.
I agree. And I just think that when you come from dysfunction, it's very easy to have no self-esteem going into a relationship. And then if you're living with someone who's not really building it up, it's not like you really notice it because you haven't had it build up in your life. So it just kind of sinks further down. So I'm always on my journey to, you know, learn more about self-esteem. I think I mentioned before that if somebody gave me a grant that I could give up everything I'm doing and just study one thing, it would definitely be self-esteem. Because what I find so fascinating about it is, you know, having grown up myself with limited self-esteem, you know, due to my, you know, always being overweight and always being non-athletic and never being picked for the, you know, teams in school, always feeling like the lonely kid, never having real deep friendships, you know, when I was growing up, you know, not until later in life. And so my self-esteem was always at a low point. And I always, you know, went into bad relationships as a result of that because I just wanted somebody to love me. And I didn't really care who it was. And I really didn't care if the person was normal, not normal, or otherwise. And so, you know, long before the marriage to my gay husband, you know, I'd been in bad relationships and bad marriage. So, you know, once again, we make choices based on what our immediate needs were, and my need, because I had low self-esteem, was to find someone who could validate me. I wanted somebody I could love and someone who would make me feel better about myself. But that's not necessarily how things end up, because you usually end up just feeling worse about yourself when you're with the wrong person. So in my search, you know, for self-esteem, like I never understood when I was younger before I studied it so much and went back to school, how women could have low self-esteem who were beautiful women. Like I would say to myself, boy, if I looked like her, I would have it all. Or if I sounded like her, if I had her voice, you know, for an excellent singer, I'd be on Broadway. You know, I could never understand why people were in the stations of life where they were, and I didn't understand it was tied into their own sense of self-esteem, which even though we get all these messages from society of what's pretty, what's smart, what's intelligent, what's talented, you know, those are your natural things that are, you know, make you feel bad. But a lot of people who don't, you know, have those messages because they're not part of the left-back girls or the ones with the dates or the prom queens even, or they're the ones who are talented and singers and beautiful, but still in all, their self-esteem wasn't any better than mine, and that's what I always found so amazing. And that's why it took me years to really understand with self-esteem. It depends on many, many questions, and, you know, a lot of it is the messages that you're getting when you're growing up that really relates into who you become as a person. So in my study, I'm always looking for good information on it, and you know, by the way, we do have a caller, so before we get started, maybe our caller would like to bring up something about self-esteem, so let's see. Hello?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. It's a really great topic. I just have something to share. Many years ago, I am gay, okay? But I knew a lot of supposedly hetero men who had wives and children that had, they were in their relationships with their males, their homosexual lovers. And it used to really anger me because I would say to them, why would you marry a woman, have children, because it's not fair to the woman or the children? And they just were totally oblivious to whatever I was saying at the time. But they never agreed with me. And I found it really offensive that they would even think of hurting, just not being true to themselves. I thought they were very cowardly in their decisions to marry and have children, but yet have the people that they really loved, like, on the side for many years. And some of them, I'm telling you, they were together for decades. But that was just a thought. Pardon me?
Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm almost 60.
Okay, so we're about the same age.
Yes, I am almost 60, and I've never, ever, ever lived in a closet, nor would I. And I have had men that have been absolutely crazy about me, but I could never, ever lie to them and be anything but truthful, because I always took their feelings in consideration. You know, and they were great guys.
And I think that's wonderful, you know, because I tell this to people. I had a daughter who was a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
I say was, because unfortunately she passed away 8 years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. But, you know, the one thing that I felt satisfaction with was the fact that I was able to help her in her journey, you know, to become a lesbian instead of
mm-hmm.
making her feel that she's inadequate or making her feel, well, you must be out of your mind, you can't be a lesbian. You know, I was able to accept it, accept her girlfriends like they were my own daughters. So at least,
good
you know,
for you.
She didn't have that same feeling that her father had of having to hide who he was. You know, I never wanted
right.
her to have to live that lie. And you know,
a lot of I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
No problem. But I was going to say it was that I think a lot of people. In fact, I got a letter today from another country. From a wonderful woman who's a lesbian who's involved with a married woman. And she's been in the relationship for a couple of years, but this woman
mm-hmm.
can't break free of her marriage. And
right,
she's
that's...
give it up because, and I said to her, you know, I hear from a lot of guys who are the other men, you know, gay men who are going with married men and the other women who are going with lesbian women in marriages. And I tell them that, you know, there are some people who will never have the courage to be authentic to who they are. And I think in our generation, when we were growing up, you know, it was much harder than it is today.
Yes.
Because when you and I were both growing up, this was something that wasn't acceptable.
That is true.
You know, I live in Philadelphia, which is a pretty modern city, but it still wasn't acceptable. And
I was born in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah? Well,
yes, but I lived in South Carolina most of my life.
Well, that's okay. No, but like I say, you were a Philly girl at heart. But the thing is, even in a big city, you know, it's just so hard. And I do understand the struggles of being gay. But maybe you'll agree with me on this. Even, you know, if you have that struggle, nobody's telling you have to come out. But it doesn't mean also that you have to go and marry somebody to cover up who you are.
Well, see, I agree with you.
And drag them down.
I agree totally. And you'd be surprised how many married women have lovers on the side, and they're very much in love with them. And the husbands aren't even aware of it. And I'm thinking, duh. You know, it's like I just can't comprehend that. I mean, I see it. Pardon me?
Would you go with a woman who was in that situation?
I have been in that situation, and she died of breast cancer many years ago. Yes, and we were longtime partners, but we both traveled with our jobs, so she was more or less in an open relationship, is what I would call it. But yes, there was a lot of guilt, and sadly, she died, but that happened many years ago. So, you know, but yes, it happens a lot. You'd be surprised.
No, I'm not surprised because I hear it all the time, like I say.
Right. It's unbelievable. It blows me away. And, you know, I think if society were more accepting and open and allowed people to be who they are without being, you know, a judge and jury, I believe that a lot of people would come out of the closet and be very, very happy. And I think the world would be a nicer place. And I'm not talking about pedophilia because I think a lot of heteros look at homosexuality as being pedophiles. I don't believe that.
Well, we're very clear that being gay has nothing to do with being a pedophile.
Right. But a lot of heteros believe that homosexuals are pedophiles, and that is not true. I have never, ever known a pedophile.
Don't you think that if people could be comfortable with who they were because society accepted them, they wouldn't have to try to be who they're not?
Exactly, and it's tragic. I mean, you see these people. I'll give you an example, and this I hate to take up all you know your time, but about two, I would say maybe 3 years ago, there were two young women. They were young girls in Virginia, and they committed suicide. And it's because, now this is what I've heard. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I do believe it from what I've read, that they were very, very much in love, and the one parent really had a problem with it. And so rather than be taken away from each other and, you know, like, I guess, sent to another part of the country for some kind of in-house therapy, they chose to end their lives, and they did. And they ended it about 15 miles from where I lived. And that haunts me because I feel like, you know, what kind of parent would not like, I mean, wouldn't, I mean, they may not agree with it, but surely they wouldn't hate their child enough to where they would want to see them dead. But it was just tragic. It still upsets me to this day.
And I think it's still going on a lot in a lot of places. You know, before we got started tonight, I was mentioning that in this country, we certainly have more choices than in other countries where you're not allowed to be gay at all. They don't.
Oh, I know.
You know, like when they're in India or in the Arab countries, you know, homosexuality is not an option. You get killed for that.
I know.
You know, it's just so tragic to me that people can't just let people live and mind their own business. If people find their happiness however they find it. So But
I don't think it's going to happen in America.
Not in my lifetime. I always say that.
Not in our lifetime. I think you're right. Not in our lifetime. But,
very deeply rooted into, a lot of political and religious types of beliefs here in America. The right-wing Christian movements, who are very anti-gay.
Right. Well, I think you're right. But, I have a, I live in the mountains, and I'm very, very happy. I have a long-term partner for many years now, and it's sad because nobody knows. I mean, I'm sure people probably suspect, but a lot of people that I know, because I'm not obvious, you would never know it in a million years by looking at me. And it's sad because there's one particular friend that I dearly love as a friend, and I know that if she knew, she would say, I don't want to know you ever. And it breaks my heart. Yes, and I have never told her, and she has really no clue. But it breaks my heart because I really love her as a dear friend. And to me, in my heart, she is a dear friend. But I know if the truth ever came out, and I struggle with that because I want to be truthful, but I don't want to lose her friendship. But then I think sometimes, is it worth it? Do I really have her friendship? The bottom line is probably not.
I mean, the people, are these the people you want to be your friends, people who can accept you? Because it's not just you that they're not accepting. And, I say this, it's a little bit of a different story, but it's the same situation that you're in. I know that when I was growing up, I grew up, I was born around the same time you were, and I'm of the Jewish faith, and, I was born in the aftermath of the Holocaust, and, to me it was really scary coming from a group of people who had just been murdered, 6 million of them in Europe, and I really grew up not wanting to be part of that, and I tried assimilating when I was 17, 18 years old. I didn't tell anybody I was Jewish. I didn't pretend I was anything else.
Right.
But, I didn't have that stereotypical Jewish look. I have blonde hair, blue eyes.
Right.
I pass myself off in the non-Jewish world. But when I would go places, even if I didn't tell people things, and I'd go to bars and hear them telling jokes about Jews, even though I didn't take it against me because they didn't know it was about me, they were talking about my mother or they were talking about my sisters. And then I
realized,
think at one point, do I want to be around people who are doing this? And I think that's what led me into a 10-year militant Jewish career after that. But
yes.
Then I told everybody. Then I started fighting for 10 years
good
of my life.
Good for
you. I'm doing that. But I think that you really have to evaluate. Is this person really a friend if she can't accept? It's not only you, but she's making condemnation of who you are.
Right.
And people who are like you. And I think you should tell her. And if
I think so, too. See, I struggle with that, and my partner says she thinks I should tell her, definitely, because she feels like you do. And I know you're right, but it just tears me up inside because, I mean, she is a friend to me, in my heart, but not really, I guess.
But maybe she'll learn, if you're her friend and you tell her, maybe this will be a lesson for her that, you know what, maybe gay people aren't what I think they are.
I'm always looking for shows on Blog Talk, but they never seem to have them in the day.
Or
maybe late night. Pardon me?
You can always access all the shows because they all have archives, and you can go listen to them anytime.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Every show you can archive at any time, 24 hours a day on Blog Talk Radio.
You know what? Thank you so much for your show, and I will be a listener, and I want to tell
you,
you're doing good work, and if the women...
situations, and my heart goes out to these men who have to live this lie, but you know what I always say?
Oh, and they do, and a lot of them, you wouldn't believe how many are so masculine, they have strong, deep voices, they're professional people, and I'm telling you, they are absolutely miserable in their marriages.
But I always tell these men who are, and a lot of them are part of my support network, people have no choice in being gay, but they do have a choice in being honest.
And yes, you're right.
And a lot of them enter these marriages not really understanding what gay is. And,
right.
You know, they say that these men don't marry women to trick them. I mean, they love their wives when they marry them, and they're hoping against hope that they can be husbands to them and be straight. And a certain percentage of gay men can function heterosexually in their younger years when they're in their 20s or 30s. But then
right.
that need for a man overtakes them, and they can't function anymore. But
you're
at that
exactly
point,
right.
you need to tell your wife that, you know, this
mm-hmm.
is not, I love you, I hope this would work, but this is not who I am, and I didn't know it till now. And that's the problem, that these a lot of these guys cannot be honest. You know, like you said, you met guys who are cheating outside their relationships for years, while their wives are sitting at home wondering, what am I doing wrong that my husband doesn't want to make love to me? What
right.
am I doing wrong? I'm not pretty enough. He doesn't want to touch me. And then
right.
a lot of these men start feeling their wives are their prison keepers, even though they created the prison themselves because they're in a marriage where they don't want to be, but they
mm-hmm.
feel very stuck. So they take it out on their wives, and they start mistreating them and abusing them emotionally and even physically. And for what?
Oh,
so
that that's so tragic.
That quality of life, right?
Very, very tragic.
But I do suggest
well,
you tell your friend, and you tell her.
Well, you know what? And you know what? I will do that soon. I'll get enough courage. I will get enough courage, and I will just do it. And if I lose her friendship, it will grief. I
and
mean, I will be grief stricken, but I will be okay. It
and
won't
you know
be
what?
The first time throughout my life.
And I just hope that she loves you enough the way you love her, that she'll understand, you know what? I've been wrong in my thinking. Look how wonderful
well,
this woman is, and she's a lesbian, and why am I thinking like that? You know, I think
well,
that maybe this might turn her thinking around.
I hope you're right, because I'm telling you, it just really deeply saddened me to the point where, like I said, I haven't been truthful because I just fear that she's going to say, I don't want to know you anymore.
Well, guess what? You'll have new friends on this show.
Well, thank you so much, and I will listen, and you're a doll, and God bless you and your listeners, and just take care.
Thanks, and write to me anytime. My email address is bonkaye@aol.com. And let me
thank
know
you
how you're
so
doing
much.
That situation, all right?
I sure will, and take care. God bless.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Well, that was nice that she called. We're always
yes.
looking to hear how other people think and the struggles that they're having, you know, which is just, as you and I both know, Misty, being gay in America still is not an easy thing.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. It's not an easy. That's how I finally come to realize I was sort of dancing on the fence when I was trying to figure out if my now ex-husband, if he had a choice in the matter, did he choose to be gay or was he gay? And finally one day I thought, oh, my goodness, who would choose this life? Just like what our caller just described. Having a dear
well, that's
friend
what I tell people. Like, what kind of choice
them.
Is this? When people tell
yeah.
me homosexuality is a choice, I mean, who would choose it? I mean, I just don't get it. Why would they think that people would choose to be gay? I mean, it's what people are born. They have no choice. But once again, it's what they do with it that makes or breaks it.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, getting back to our issue of self-esteem, I found this really great website. And if anybody's interested in it, just write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send it to you. And it has so much good self-esteem stuff. So, you know, I could make it up and pretend like I'm coming up with this stuff, but I'm not. You know, it really came from another website. And I think that, you know, Misty has a lot of stuff on self-esteem, and I have a lot of stuff, but we're always looking for more good stuff. So this website says, what is self-esteem? And it says, self-esteem is your opinion of yourself. High self-esteem is a good opinion of yourself. And low self-esteem is a bad opinion of yourself. And it says, your self-esteem depends on many questions. And, of course, this is not geared towards straight wives or any specific group. This is just towards people in general. So some of these things apply to everybody. But, for instance, is your job worthwhile? Do others respect what you do? Do you respect it? Do you believe you are successful? How do you see yourself? What is your self-image about yourself? How do you feel about your strengths and weaknesses? Are you comparing yourself to others and ignoring the unique value of what you have? What do you think of your social status? How do you relate to others? Can you make your own choices and decisions? A lack of choices leads to low self-esteem. And talks about low self-esteem, and it says that low self-esteem feeds on negative thoughts, so don't indulge yourself in self-criticism. Why are you waging war against yourself? And, you know, it talks about having positive self-talk for yourself. It says also you can choose to please yourself. It is good, for you to care about others' feelings, but aren't your needs just as important? Don't neglect yourself. Don't try to be like someone else. This leads to a lack of self-worth and confidence. You are unique and cannot be someone else. Strive to improve, but don't criticize yourself for not being as successful, beautiful, slim, or as popular as someone else. Take life and yourself less seriously. Failure just means you're not successful yet. Everybody fails before succeeding. Don't look on it as a failure, but as a means to learning. Perhaps you need a change of direction. Problems make you stronger if you strive to overcome them. Self-worth, confidence, and assuredness increases when you focus on your needs and desires. You deserve to live life as you want. This is not selfishness, as what you don't want doesn't hurt others or prevent them from living life on their terms. Focus on your successes. Lack of confidence feeds on your feelings of failure and inadequacy. Remember the truly successful things you have done in your life. Reward yourself when you do succeed. And use positive affirmations and quotes. Read them when you are feeling negative and need inspiration. Use visualization to help you achieve your dreams and increase your self-esteem. Focus on your strengths. Use them. You will succeed if you're true to yourself. Work at achieving your goals. If you do this, your confidence will increase and you will feel positive. Your self-criticism will die to nothing, as you will know even if you do not succeed, you tried all you could. Do your best at everything you try. Feed your brain. Read inspiring books. They will really help you. Not just any books, though. Read the best. Believing in yourself is all about focusing on your strengths. You must be honest with yourself and be true to your feelings. Don't pretend to be anything you're not, and don't listen to others who try to convince you that you are wrong. Trust your intuitions and your feelings to make the right decisions and decide today which direction you want to go in. So what do you think about that?
I think that's a great article. I think it's wonderful, and I think that, you know, that's good advice for anyone, especially straight wives, because, you know, if your self-esteem was not damaged going in, I can guarantee you it will be damaged coming out of the relationship. And there's so much good advice in that article that you just read. And if I may add to it just a little bit, what I have found with the self-esteem is don't overlook the simple things. I just wrote an article on my blog yesterday or the day before about simple things. You know, sometimes we try to make too much movement at one time, and then it gets discouraging. And when you're trying to build your self-esteem, you don't want to defeat yourself before you get out of the gate, so to speak. You know, so find those little things to do, just like you just read from that list. Make a list. And one major thing could be, you know, notice your language. And what I mean by notice your language, like when you say things about yourself to other people or you refer to yourself, do you have negativity in it? Oftentimes, people with low self-esteem, as you and I know, Bonnie, they do. They'll say, I could have done it better, or, you know, something like that.
Absolutely. And I think what this website has is written by a woman who wrote a book, by a man, Carl Pereira, and he's the author of www.moreselfesteem.com with a dash between the more and self-esteem. But, and he has a lot of good things in here, but one thing I want to do is he has a little quiz to see how your self-esteem is. So if all of you can get a pencil who are listening, and we'll give you this little quiz. And you have to write true or false. There's 16 items. Are you ready, Misty?
I'm ready.
I want you to mark down how your self-esteem is here. Ready?
Oh, no. Okay.
I know, I'm going to fail this test, right?
Well, I'm feeling good today, so I should pass. All righty, I'm ready.
All right, good. All right, so is it true or false? Here's number one. Other people are not better off or more fortunate than me. That's point number one, true or false. Number two is I accept myself as I am and am happy with myself. That's true or false. Number three, I enjoy socializing. Number four, I deserve love and respect. Number five, I feel valued and needed. Number six, I don't need others to tell me that I've done a good job. Number seven, being myself is important. Number eight is I make friends easily. Number nine is I can accept criticism without feeling put down. Number 10 is I admit my mistakes openly. Number 11 is I never hide my true feelings. Number 12 is I always speak up for myself and put my views across. Number 13 is I am a happy, carefree person. Number 14 is I don't worry what others think of my views. Number 15 is I don't need others' approval to feel good. And the last one is I don't feel guilty about doing or saying what I want. So now you have to tally up your points. You get 1 point for every true answer you gave. So you have to count up your truths. I'm giving everybody that moment to count up their truths. And now I'll tell you what the scale is. Are you going to tell me what your truths are, Misty?
Yes, I will. I'll be brave.
Okay, what are you?
I will be brave. Mine was, I did 14 and almost 15, so I'm probably at the good end of the scale, I think. Because one question I was hesitant about, and I can't remember which one it was. I think it was question number 9. Could you read that one again?
Yeah. Number 9 was, I can accept criticism without feeling put down.
Okay. 9 I answered, I think that should be like, and be able to answer and then put an explanation with it. For example.
Well, I'll go through each one.
Sometimes.
I'll go through them and then you can answer them. I'll go through each one and then you can answer it for me, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. So number 1, other people are not better off or more fortunate than me. Do you feel that's true?
True.
False.
No.
Okay. I'm just giving
okay.
you my opinion.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
I accept myself as I am, and I'm happy with myself.
True.
I'll give that one a true. I enjoy socializing.
True for me.
Sometimes true for me. I deserve love and respect.
I got a capital T for that one.
Me too. I'm big on that one. How about I feel valued and needed?
True.
I do too.
But that's now. I can't say that was that way before in my in my marriage. So I just wanted to clarify that. Mm-hmm.
That's right. See, a lot of this is where you stand in your life right now.
Absolutely. So I earned that. Absolutely. I just earned that one.
All right. How about I don't need others to tell me I've done a good job?
True.
All right, I'll go true on that. Being myself is important.
Very true for me.
Yeah, me too. How about I make friends easily?
True.
That's false for me. I'm still kind of like shy.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard for me to make friends. I don't know. I think it's because, you know, maybe I'm a little shy. Hard to believe, I know, but it's true. Okay, I can accept criticism without feeling put down.
I answer that false with an explanation, if I may. I answer that false because sometimes you're in bad situations, and there's a difference between it being criticism and it being abuse. And because of my past with an ex-husband that was very abusive, I recognize those situations quickly. You know, is it positive criticism? Is it constructive criticism? Or is it putting you down? So if it's constructive criticism, yeah, I can do that if it's an opportunity for me to grow. If it's not, I'm pretty keen on recognizing that these days. So I put false for that one, and I hope that makes sense how I clarify.
tried to clarify then.
So that means you can accept it?
I can accept a constructive criticism, yes. For example, if I'm working somewhere and...
You have to get a true for that.
Okay. All right, then. Well, I scored it even higher then, okay?
Right. I'll give myself a false for that, you know, because that's how I am, honest. I feel that when people criticize me, and even though I know sometimes it's really not valid at all, but it still brings back a lot of those old insecurities that I have, I guess depending how they do it. And
yes, now I would have to answer it true to that. It would depend if it really dug up an old wound that's, you know, healed over, but now you can still bring up stuff. But how quickly do you get through that?
I think it's part of self-esteem that goes back to childhood, as we were talking about earlier. I know that, you know, I grew up with a father who was very critical of me. And I always felt put down. And as a result of it, I did really self-destructive things as I was getting older. It didn't hurt anybody else except me. But it was because of, you know, constantly being criticized and being made to feel like I didn't have much value. So, you know, like I really put my heart into everything I do. And I always try to do the right thing. So when people do criticize me, I still feel put down. I don't feel guilty about it. You know, I recognize it, but I'm not going to lie about it. I think it's true. Go ahead.
And I'm going to add to that, please. Now, if it's something that's near and very dear to my heart, for example, expressive arts. You know, I'm just passionate about expressive arts. And if someone were to criticize that or put that down, yeah, I'm going to be offended. It's going to hurt my feelings because I love it. And, you know, I think an even better example is this. This could relate to our straight wife listeners. Oh, about a year ago, and I've mentioned this before, I had saw an acquaintance, and she asked me what I was doing these days, you know, being the therapist, life coach. And I explained to her that, you know, I had converted everything and was working with specifically with straight wives. And helping them through life coaching. Well, she started, and she said, wow, well, you know, don't these women know that their husbands are gay? You know, when first time I saw your ex-husband, I knew he was gay. Oh, did that cut deep. See, I took that as criticism. So with that one, I was just ready to defend the whole world. I was ready to defend all the straight wives of the world. Because, of course, we don't know. We don't ask for that pain. And neither do many of the gay men that marry us. They, you know, I don't think, like we've said, they don't start out, most of them do not start out with the trickery. So, with the intention of that. So, you know, yes, now that was some criticism that I took deep to my core. So that answer, I'm going to say, could be false for me at times as well. So I'm with you on that team, Bonnie, okay? So it would depend on the situation.
All right, how about I admit my mistakes openly?
I'm going to say true. I'm much better at that. But I think that's with age and wisdom and a little bit of maturity.
Yep. I'm always able to admit my mistakes. Because I feel that people learn from each other by, you know, admitting their mistakes.
Mm-hmm. I think so,
too. How about I never hide my true feelings?
For the most part, that's with me, that's like a 80% true. A 20% true would be professional. Meaning, like, when I work with some women and I know they're in a terrible situation, it's not my place to be there, you know, to tell them what to do. It's my place to help them find a good life. So 20% of that's going to be false because I can't put my values onto them. You know, I just have to help them find what they feel is best for them. So do I hide my true feelings? Pretty much no in my personal life. In my professional life, I have to keep it neutral. And that's hard sometimes.
Sometimes I hide my true feelings because this goes back once again to self-esteem issue of not wanting to hurt people's feelings because you don't want them not to like you. You know, when it comes to low self-esteem, for anyone who's listening, I am the queen. You know, I take credit for having throughout my life really low self-esteem, which, you know, I've worked really hard on a daily basis to get it to be high. But believe me, I had years of my life when it was just so low. And I always wanted people to like me because, you know, I just felt that it was a rejection of me or another criticism of me if they didn't like me. So I became the ultimate caretaker for everyone. And mm-hmm. even though I was run ragged by a lot of people, because I always say in life there are takers and givers, and mm-hmm. they need each other because the givers need somebody to give to and the takers need somebody to take from. But,
absolutely.
You know, it's when there's an imbalance where you're, you know, just surrounding yourself with takers because, you know, you feel this total need to give to make you validate yourself or feel better about yourself. You know, this is where, you know, for many years I would hide my true feelings rather than tell people how I really felt. And it's also part of not having assertive behavior, which we'll talk about after this, because learning assertiveness is really an important part of, you know, building back your self-esteem. And how about I always speak up for myself and put my views across?
I'm saying true, and that's something I can't say I've always owned. That's one of my newest characteristics that I've loved, that I have developed probably over the past, maybe 5 years, you know. It may even be newer than that. I realize just because I have an opinion, it's okay. And I can respect other people's opinion. They don't have to be the same as mine. And I feel that if I don't share my opinions with other people, then who am I to help broaden their horizons? Maybe they didn't want it broadened, but, you know, I'm willing to accept their opinion. So, yeah, I enjoy that. I enjoy that I'm... don't have to agree with everything someone says.
Okay, good. I am a happy, carefree person.
Sure. For the most part.
I'm giving myself a true on that, too. I don't worry what others think of my views.
True. That's my new thing I've developed.
Yeah, I'm starting to develop this new philosophy called It's All About Me. I'm learning from
I love it.
Yeah, that's
I love
what
it.
My new thing is.
The diary of a straight wife.
Well,
I can hear it now.
Learn from them instead of saying all the time it's all about them. We have to learn how to make it all about us.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Right? Nothing wrong with
I'm
that.
With
you. Nope. How about I don't need others' approvals to feel good?
True.
That's true for me now, but it wasn't true for me through a large part of my life.
I think it's one of the hardest ones to learn, don't you?
Yes, I do. How about I don't feel guilty about doing or saying anything I want?
For the most part, true.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, true, too. So where did you come out? With 15 points, 14 points?
Yeah, I came out with one of them I changed.
Right.
No, I actually changed two. You convinced me that one of mine should be true, and I changed one to false. So now I can't remember which one it was. So I'm coming out about 14.
Yeah, I'm coming between the two. Okay, so 15 to 16, for those of you who are keeping score for yourself, you have a high level of self-esteem. And chances are you probably won't be listening to us anyway if that's the case. 12 to 14. Misty fell on the 14. I was around 12. It says, not bad, but room for you to improve. If you're 8 to 11 points, low self-esteem is holding you back. And below 8 points, your self-esteem is drastically low. So, you know, like I say, it's not unusual for people to have low self-esteem when they're in marriages that are chaotic or, like Misty says, dancing in the circle of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doubting yourself and you can't believe in anything you're doing or anything you're saying and nothing's being validated. So if your self-esteem is low, it's a very normal thing when you're going through these marriages. And here it says, how can I become more self-confident? Benefits are so many, including more success and more happiness. Your ambition will grow and your hope of achieving your dreams will also grow. And it says, why should you believe in yourself? Because you are unique. You see things differently from anyone else. You are therefore special and original and can do things that others can't. You have something to contribute, and you can help others because of your life experience. Think back to your successes, and you will see if you believe you can achieve. The only limits you have in this world are those in your mind. To improve your self-confidence and communication, there are many things you can do. And here's the page for self-confidence tips. So let's see this. Look for a model, someone who has self-confidence, and learn from them. What is it they do that makes them confident, and how do they act? Focus on your achievements rather than your failures. If you do find yourself thinking about how you failed, then look at what you managed to do right and how you could correct what you did the next time. Act as if you were self-confident. You will start to feel more self-confident. Focus on who you are and what you like about yourself. Why do your friends like you? And I think, Misty, you know, not to just deviate from this, but remember you were talking about that last time. You know, go to other people and ask them, what do you like about me, right?
Absolutely. And make sure that's a positive person in your life when you do that.
Yeah. Now, one of the listeners from last week wrote to us and said that she did that, and she was really surprised how much better she felt when she asked a friend, what do you like about me?
And wonderful.
Friend gave her a whole list.
Good. Wonderful.
Always smile and stand up straight. A lot of it's in your body language, I guess. Set reachable goals for yourself and break difficult tasks into smaller steps. And I think that's really important, that a lot of times that we want to act too quickly on things and we set these goals that are just important to, you know, impossible to reach. And then what happens is when we fall, then it's just, you know, we feel it's our fault. That once again, it just keeps perpetuating that cycle of not feeling good about yourself because you set up goals that weren't obtainable to start with, and then you feel like the failure. When it wasn't you who was the failure, it was setting goals that were impossible to reach. And it says break difficult tasks into smaller steps. Reward yourself when you succeed, no matter how small the achievement. And finally, I advise you not to be too competitive or compare yourself with others. Be yourself and accept that life is not a race against others, but your self-confidence depends on you and your personal needs. And I do want to mention also that, you know, Misty's been really generous in giving some good tips over the, you know, time about how people can build their self-confidence. But even this little thing here where it says reward yourself when you succeed no matter how small the achievement, I know that one of my girlfriends who has a lot of issues with self-esteem, although she's constantly battling them and really achieving great things, but once again, it doesn't take much to push her buttons and push her backwards. But one of the things she did was utilize the technique that you have, you know, suggested to people, and, you know, I told her, I brought that back with me from the last time we were together in Florida, is to set up a jar, and every time you accomplish something that you're proud of, to put a little stone in it or a little shell in the jar, and, you know, just watch how they pile up, and every time you, you know, do something, reward yourself by giving yourself that little, you know, stone or bead or shell, and watch how the jar fills, and then you can see, like, all of them filling up, and, you know, that really makes her feel better every day.
Absolutely.
Like, she'll do something positive, and she'll say to me, how many stones do you think I can put in for this? You know, tell her one or two, you know, depending on how exciting it is. You know, usually I'll tell her one, that's it. You know, but even those ones really gross.
You're hardcore, buddy.
I don't want her to feel too over self-confident, but
You don't want her to build the self-esteem quickly, do you?
No, I don't. You know, I want her to feel she earned it. But you know, the bottom line is that jar filled up within a few months, and she just felt so good. And she said, "Boy, when I look at that, and I look at each time I put a stone in there as being an accomplishment, and I see all those stones piling up, you know, it makes me realize that I've really achieved a lot." So even though it was just a simple technique that you suggested, I mean, it really works for some people.
It does. You know why I think it works? The reason I think it works is, and for all you people out there wanting to build your self-esteem, here's why I think it works. I think most all of us do have blessings in our life, and we do have accomplishments. But when you have low self-esteem, you don't recognize them. You have to look for them. And when you look for them, you're going to recognize a few things. And we as humans need visual reminders sometimes. So when we do that little simple exercise of putting a shell, a marble, or a bead in a glass vase or whatever it may be, you recognize, wow, I did this today. I made this accomplishment or whatever it is that you've set out to do. And you get the pleasure of enjoying seeing your accomplishments visually. And I think it helps trigger something in our brain to, you know, sort of reward ourselves.
Well, I agree. And, you know, and this website goes on to discuss assertiveness, you know, being assertive And mm-hmm. I really, a number of years teaching assertiveness training, you know, me being such a great candidate to teach something like that, right? But the thing is that I learned over time how to become assertive. And a lot of people don't understand what assertive is. They really mistake assertive for being aggressive
mm-hmm.
or being pushy, and that has nothing to do with what it is. And assertiveness training really came back in the 1960s. It was part of a movement that women, when they were looking for women's rights, it was really geared for them. It was very big in this country at that time because, you know, women had always been viewed as subsidiaries to their husbands, or, you know, they were supposed to not be heard. The man was to make all the decisions, and women didn't have much say about a lot of stuff. And so, you know, assertiveness training became very prevalent back then. And, you know, it became like kind of a terminology to help women to move to the next phases of their life of, you know, building their self-esteem. And according to this website, it says, what is assertiveness exactly? Some mistakenly think that being assertive means being pushy or selfish in order to get your own way, but this is not true, and it's an extremely misguided view. Assertive behavior is positive and will bring you results in your dealings with others. Not being assertive is one way to cultivate low confidence, self-esteem, and worth. If you are an assertive person, you will be confident to stand up and be counted. You will put your opinion forward and stand by it. You will not be quiet and go ignored. Normally, because of the perceived risk involved in expressing yourself openly like this, rather than keeping quiet, means you need a certain level of confidence. If you want to conquer shyness or become more effective socially, you need to be more assertive. Simply put, assertiveness is asking for what you want or speaking up for yourself when you feel strongly that you have something to say. So it says, why is assertiveness important to you? Relationships. And this is so important. Expressing your feelings and being able to ask what you want means you'll be happier in your relationships, and this is more likely to make for a happier partner. So that's just one of many things. I just want to comment on that because when we go into these relationships with our gay husbands, one thing is that we may be expressing our feelings in the beginning of the marriages because when something starts going wrong, but a lot of us are shut down very quickly. And, you know, we're manipulated that way by our husbands who don't want to have to discuss issues. And, you know, of course, one of the main things this starts to enter into is our sex lives. And I know that, you know, a lot of times women will tell their husbands that they want to make love with them, which is a normal way of expressing your love for someone. And when the man shuts you down or tells you, well, you must be a nymphomaniac or there's something wrong with you or you're sexually aggressive, and they have a million reasons why they don't want to have sex with you, that a lot of times when you stop expressing your feelings because you're tired of being told that there's something wrong with you. So in a relationship, if you can't express your feelings and ask for what you want, then you're really going to have a hard time in that relationship. And what I see, what happens is that it really does carry over into future relationships when you find a straight man after your gay husband, if you've been trained not to be assertive, it will certainly affect that relationship because it certainly did with me. And I've been very lucky to be in a wonderful relationship with my soulmate today. It's 16 years and 8 months we celebrated today. And
oh.
I celebrate every month because, you know, I'm still madly in love with this man after all these years.
Congratulations.
And, yeah, it is great. I attribute that to not being married anymore. But, you know, I think that keeps it exciting. But that's me. The thing is that, you know, we still have a wonderful close relationship and he is my soulmate. But I will tell you this, it took me many years to get this relationship on track because of my bad habits from my marriage to my gay husband, where I was afraid to ask for anything because I was going to be told that there's something wrong with me or be criticized. And so a lot of things, it took me time to, even though I knew all this stuff going into the relationship, I was so afraid of making a mistake. We're so afraid he might walk away if I say the wrong thing. And, you know, that's why when you go into new relationships, if you don't know how to assert yourself and talk up for yourself and say what you want, you're going to find yourself back in the same situation, even though it's not quite the same, but you're still not going to have a fulfilling relationship. And that's where assertiveness training really comes in. Also,
Absolutely. It
talks about career. Those who are past at the work are all often undervaluated and ignored for promotion. It's those who put themselves forward and ask for responsibility that are given it. Being more assertive will bring you to better opportunities and more job satisfaction. And I tell this story to people, too, because it's really true, because as I told you, I am honest, and I hope people learn from my mistakes. But when I started working at a job, many years ago, I just recently left there after 23 years, but like in my second or third year, I didn't get a raise when it was time to get a raise. You know, every year they have an annual raise. And I didn't see one in my pay. And anybody who was normal would have gone to their boss and said, well, you know, I know it's raise time, but I didn't see anything reflected in my check. But I was afraid to go and ask. You know, I was afraid, well, if I say something, or first of all these negative thoughts kept coming to me. Maybe they didn't think that my job this year was worthy of a raise, even though I know I worked really hard. But maybe they didn't see it worthy of being a raise. Or maybe they don't have money to give me, and if I ask for more, maybe they won't want me working there. All these negative insecurity feelings all came back. And so I didn't say anything. And 3 months later, my boss called me in, and she said, you know, I got a call from the payroll department, and hadn't you noticed that you didn't get a raise 3 months ago when you were supposed to get one? And I said, yes, I did, but I didn't want to say anything. She says, well, you should have said something. It was their mistake. And they apologized, and they're going to give you, you know, the retroactive raise. But here I was so afraid to say something and speak out for myself, and that was a lesson to me. You know, I learned from that mistake, and I became stronger in the future when I had to negotiate for a raise. Also, it says for family, it's important to compromise whether you are a son, daughter, or parent, but it's also important to be assertive in decisions where you need to state what you want. Women are especially in need of being more assertive where the demands on them can be unbearable. And I see that in a lot of people, running, doing, going, being, the ultimate caretaker for everyone else except themselves.
Mm-hmm.
With friendships, any friendship should be on equal footing. When one person starts to demand too much of the other, it's time to reassess the friendship. Being assertive and telling your friend honestly what you think is very important, and being passive can make you very unhappy. And that's sort of like that lovely lady who called us in earlier with her friendship. You know, telling your friend honestly what you think and who you are is very important. And having to live a lie and not tell her would only make this poor woman unhappy. It's not hurting her friend, it's hurting her. Success and ambitions. If you set yourself any goal, you will need to be assertive with others who may try to dissuade you or stand in your way. Again, being assertive just means declaring your intention to do something and claiming your right to what you want it to be. And as far as self-esteem, if you are passive and feel that you have not spoken up for yourself in any situation, not only may you lose out, but you'll feel terrible inside. This feeling may cause you to lose confidence, and if it continues, could lead to depression. It says assertiveness is a positive quality. Beware, though, some will tell you being assertive is being selfish. Not so. As long as your assertiveness does not hurt anyone else, and as long as you state your wishes calmly and confidently, you are not acting selfishly. You have a right to be yourself and do what you feel is right for you. Selfishness is when you don't care about others, only yourself. What being assertive is about respecting yourself, and this will reflect outwards as you begin to respect others as having equal rights as you. So when I was teaching assertiveness, I used to give people these exercises to do. And even though they sound like silly little exercises, like for instance, and I'll ask you, Misty, we'll see how assertive you are. When you go to a restaurant, if you order something and it comes out cold or not done the way you want it, do you send it back?
Now I do. Before, when I was married to my ex, when my self-esteem was low, absolutely not. If anyone that knows me, I detest fresh tomatoes. I would eat a tomato any other way. But, boy, when I was with him, I would just sit there and I would either pick it off or eat around it, or not eat it, because I just didn't want any. I felt it was conflict, even though someone else either wrote the order down incorrectly or the cook made it incorrectly, whatever. No, back then, absolutely not. Now, absolutely I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's something that for years I never did. And if a meal came to me and it wasn't right, I would just leave it. And they would take it away. Now I send it back because now I know that I'm paying for a meal, and I don't. It's nothing personal against the chef. It just didn't come out the way I wanted it.
Absolutely.
But I would say that took me a good 30 years to be able to do that. Or even if you go to a restaurant and they put you in a seat near the door where it's so noisy, do you ask to be moved to another table?
Yes, I will. Or I'll wait. If they say one's not ready, I'll say, okay, well, I can wait. You know, because I'm paying for that afternoon. I'm paying for that evening meal. And not. And I want to say something. I'm not even sure if I should say this word on here, but I think women are, especially coming from the marriage I was in, my ex always referred to me as being bitchy. So I think if someone, when someone asks for something, oh, you're just, you know, you're just being bitchy again. You know, so I would get that comment from him all the time. So anytime I would try to be assertive, and not even in an aggressive way, because you can be assertive and not aggressive. However, my ex would put it all in the same category. So it jumbled me up. I didn't know what I was thinking. So, you know, it's whenever I think when we ask for something, especially as women in our culture, oftentimes because we want something a certain way, we can even ask for it nicely. Sometimes people will perceive you as being bitchy. That's okay.
Right. And I think that we need to address that when it happens, because part of assertiveness training also is expressing what your needs and your wants are. So, for instance, if your husband's yelling at you, instead of saying, stop yelling at me, you know, which is a natural tendency because you get sick of hearing it, you know, the assertive way would be to express it. It really hurts me when you talk to me that way. It makes me feel as if I have no value. And that kind of, like, stops them in their tracks, because now they have to intellectually think about what you're saying. But assertive training makes you feel that you put your needs, you know, first, and you say it by using that word I a lot. And I think that's hard for a lot of us because we are caretakers, because we've been reduced to feeling as if our needs aren't important, so we don't want to put the word I in front of anything. But in order to really practice assertiveness, you know, I used to say, how many times did I go into a store and I felt I'm embarrassed to even say this, you know, and I mean embarrassed. People will really think, you know, God, but it's the truth. I would go into a store and then a salesperson would come over and say, can I help you? And then I would always feel compelled. I better buy something, even if it's a little something, that I didn't have the right to sit and browse or say, no, I don't need your help. I mean, that took me a long time. Or if I would buy something, if it didn't fit, God forbid I would ever take it back. I would just accept it as a loss. Did you ever do that?
When I was married, absolutely. Absolutely.
I felt embarrassed to take it back. I mean, it wasn't that I was lazy. I didn't want to have to tell somebody, I'm sorry, I brought somebody who needed a refund. I mean, that shows you when you feel so bad about yourself that you don't feel that you're worthy enough to have to confront a stranger who has no effect on your life whatsoever, who will never know you coming or going, and yet you're concerned about that person's feelings more than your own.
Absolutely.
But when you have low self-esteem, that's how you become. And I know that's certainly how I became. And I was like that for many years. And I say that every day I have to work on my self-esteem issues. And, you know, no matter how much I achieve, no matter how much I've accomplished, and I really feel like I've accomplished a lot in my life, you know, if I would look at somebody else and see if they accomplished what I did, you know, coming from where I started, I would say, boy, you have a lot to be proud of. And I am proud of it, but my point is that I have to look at it every day, and I really have to, you know, keep saying it to myself, because it's really easy to fall off that self-esteem wagon just because, you know, it's a lifetime pattern.
Yeah,
and you have to fight, wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. I think we have to be vigilant, because old patterns, you know, being a marriage and family therapist by profession, the greatest thing we looked at during graduate school is relationships. And in that relationship, you look at the patterns of every relationship. So you really have to be careful what patterns you repeat, because old patterns can really creep back up on you, including self-esteem. You know, what were those old patterns that you committed, you know, against yourself, basically, and letting your self-esteem go, giving it away, in the straight gay marriage versus if you're entering a new relationship with a straight man. I mean, you may still repeat some of those patterns. So, yes, you have to be vigilant of those patterns, recognizing them and not fall back into those old habits and realize that you are worthy. So it's an everyday thing.
So if anybody would like to get this website, and what I think is so nice about it, is that, you know, there's a lot of good suggestions, and also, I'm going to send it to you, Misty, because they have a free newsletter for those, you know, different tips on self-esteem.
Wonderful.
So go to my newsletter and get chapter one of my ebook, Self-Esteem Secrets, free. But also you can join the newsletter for free. And I think it's, you know, every help that we can find, everything in life, you know, that helps you as far as feeling better about yourself
mm-hmm.
as you're on your journey to gay husband recovery, because there are so many issues, you know, everything helps. So
absolutely.
If you would like a copy of this website, just write to me at bonk@aol.com. Anything else you'd like to add to that, Misty?
Yeah, when we're talking about self-esteem, I'll give away one of my questions, my life coaching questions that I ask clients a lot. So if you have a pen or pencil out there and you want to hear it, I'd love to share this with you because, you know, self-esteem, Bonnie, as you and I know, it's just one of the basic building blocks. You have to work on it. You really do. And it's something that grows. It's something, it's like a seed that you plant in the earth. You have to water it. You have to pull the weeds. And, you know, you can watch it grow, but you still have to pull the weeds, so you've got to nurture it. But anyway, to get to the point, if you are trying to, or if you feel like your self-esteem needs improvement, one of the key questions I ask my clients are, you know, how would you be different if your self-esteem was better? It doesn't have to be hugely better, but just better. Because sometimes you've got to realize when you're so low down, it's hard to even visualize it. But just by using the key word of just being better or a little bit better, and I will repeat that, how would you be different if your self-esteem was just a little bit better? And write that down. Write down how you would feel, maybe what you would be doing, anything, whatever comes to mind, and don't limit yourself. Do not limit yourself. In other words, don't filter the answers that pop up in your mind. Then look at those answers that you get from that question, and ask yourself this. What is the smallest step that you can take to achieve one of those things? And I mean, like, if, let's say, let's see, Bonnie, could you give me an example of when you first came out of the gay straight marriage, what was your self-esteem was low that you would have liked to have improved?
I think I would have liked to have improved my sense of confidence. I was my confidence was really at the bottom of the ground.
Okay. Well, if you'll let me play with this a moment, I would say to you, if you were my client, I'd say, okay, Bonnie, now look back or look right now into your life. What areas do you feel confident in? And it doesn't have to be huge confidence, but just a little bit confident.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where you start.
So I don't have any.
If you don't have any, I would help you find some because I don't believe you don't have any. I believe everyone has strengths, and that would be my job
all right.
as a life coach
well,
to help you find
I would
have
found one or two, I guess.
Okay. There you go. Okay. And then when you find those little confidences, you build on those. You just build and you build and you build. Or another, I'll give one more really simple thing to do. A lot of times when you're in a relationship, you feel very self-conscious and won't go out by yourself, or maybe go to the movies, you want to go somewhere, but you can't find a friend to go with you. Well, one really easy thing that could boost self-confidence and your self-esteem, and this sounds so silly, is, you know, maybe go to the movies by yourself. No one's going to, who cares if someone sees you? Just do it. That would be a small step. Just do it. And you could break that, going to the movies, down into three simple steps. One, look at the newspaper, or look online and see what movie it is you want to see. Two, decide what time of day you want to go. Maybe you want to go during the day. Maybe you want to go at night. Three, buy your ticket and go. So break it down into very manageable steps. Don't overwhelm yourself. So make it simple. Don't make it complicated.
Right, and I think that that's the key. Take the little steps. You know, there's no giant step or there's no way to just click your heels and say this is going to be over. And, you know, you really have to spend, you know, this like gay husband recovery to me is like recovery of anything else from drugs, alcohol, and any other kind of, you know, situation where there's, a, you know, any kind of addiction involved where it leads you into a recovery period. I'm not comparing it to the, you know, addictions. I'm just saying a recovery period. But they often tell you in recovery that for the first year, don't get involved with dating and this, you know, work on yourself. Mm-hmm. And I say the same thing. You know, don't jump into anything that's going to be destructive for you. A lot of women just want to make that jump because they're lacking their self-confidence and they want to feel like a woman again. They want to feel desired again. And believe me, nobody understands that better than we do. But what mm-hmm. often happens in almost all cases, when you jump, you know, from a bad situation into another situation and you haven't spent that year building up your confidence, your self-esteem, you know, your sexual esteem, whatever the issues are, you're going to be jumping back into bad hands. I mean, you really need to spend a year, you know, learning who you are, learning how to change who you are, learning how to build up your confidence, self-esteem, and then everything else will start falling into place. But I don't think you really can be that successful unless you yourself, you know, take that time to learn who you are again, to realize who you were before your marriages, to learn to love yourself again, trust yourself again. I think mm-hmm. that's the biggest issue our women have after these marriages. They stop trusting themselves because
Absolutely.
They say, if I made that kind of mistake, you know, how will I ever be able to pick somebody again and not make a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
But it does happen all the time. I mean, you know, certainly after you build yourself up and you feel better about yourself and you can express yourself and assert yourself and feel confident about yourself, then you'll be able to find the kind of person that you need to respect you in a relationship, and that's what it's all about. Finding somebody who can love you for who you are, not try to change you into what he wants you to be, and someone who feels, you know, wonderful because you're a strong person, you know, you're an independent person, you don't have to become codependent on somebody, and all of this is part of building you. So, Misty, believe it or not, we're coming to an end of our time.
We are.
I know. That we said we're going to cut this show short, and that just never happened.
No, it flew by tonight.
I mean, we can talk about this, like, for hours, right?
Self-esteem could be 6 months' worth of radio shows. I mean, it really could. It's that important. It really could.
And I just want to mention to our Australian sisters who are listening, we're getting ready this week to start our Australian chat. So if you're listening to us from Australia and you haven't signed up for my chat room yet, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and Misty and I will be launching that this Thursday in Sydney, Melbourne time at 9 o'clock p.m., which will be 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Lucky thing, Misty, that I don't have to worry that you're not an early riser.
I know.
I'm going to give you my choice. I said you will be up at that hour, right, Misty?
Well, yes, I will. It's not my favorite time of day, but I will be up. It's such an important cause. I will be up that time for our Australian sisters.
That's all right. I'm up at 5 o'clock watching SoapNet for Ryan Soap from 30 years ago. So
wow.
I'll stay awake and be on there for our Aussie sisters. So
I try to be a morning person, but, you know, I fail oftentimes.
Yeah. Well, I would like to wish all of our listeners a very wonderful week. And if you need any help or if you like the article or more about Misty's workshops, just write to me at bonk@aol.com. If you have any questions, comments, and please be listening next week when we have Heather Cram with us for a really exciting show. Heather is just dynamite, and she's going to give you a lot of strategies on how to survive a gay marriage to a gay man. So, Misty, have a wonderful week.
You as well.
I hope it cools off down there. And good night to all of our listeners. Have a great night.
Good night. Bye. And love to all. Bye-bye.
Love to all. Bye-bye.